Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris. A human being is a holistic animal. What does that mean? It means we derive our joys and our happiness and our fulfillment from a multitude of aspects of life. The spiritual aspect, the mental aspect, the career aspect, the financial aspect, the relationship aspect, the health aspect, and the social aspect. And each of these areas are important. We're a holistic animal. We are not an animal that can derive all of its requirements from a single source. However, as holistic as we are, the things we want out of life are not holistic. They are singular. And so you can imagine, if you can imagine a cone, witch's hat, whatever, and around the base of the cone are the holistic nature of a human being, the seven areas of life, from which we can derive joy and pleasure and happiness and fulfillment and all that rest. At the top, it becomes very singular. So what are the things at the top that we're trying to derive? Well, before we get to that, let's just talk quickly about each of the seven areas of life. The first and most important thing is there's two aspects of each of the seven areas of life. The two aspects are prevention and cure. With prevention, what we're trying to do is live our lives so that we don't get problems in each of the seven areas of life. Prevention means we operate in a healthy way. So we don't, by necessity, get drawn down into the lower realms of our thought process. We stay at what's called a high frequency. Now, prevention means we do things on a daily basis that don't cause us trouble. For example, we eat well, we do a bit of exercise, and therefore our body remains in a relatively healthy state, and so we're preventing disease, we're preventing trouble. In our relationship, we are being complimentary, romantic, we are being friendly, we're not trying to solve our partner's problems, and therefore, in some ways or another, we're preventing problems. And so it goes on all around the seven areas of life. Then there's cure. For example, in the spiritual area, somebody in your family might pass away. And there is no preventing that, and there's no preventing the emotion that will come in the grief. So now we have to deal with grief. And each of the seven areas of life will have the potential for grief, for pain, for disappointment, for suffering, for hurt. All the other words that come are basically available to us in each of the seven areas of life. And we need to know how to cure those if they come along, how to deal with grief, how to deal with anger, how to deal with disappointment, how to deal with frustration. And so now we've got prevention, which is the habits and how we manage and live. And then there's cure. And if we get those wrong, we get into a lot of trouble. For example, if we follow a diet plan like the, for example, 16-8 diet or one of these diet plans that have only just been invented on the planet, and made sophisticated by the internet, we don't know the long-term ramifications of that diet. We don't. So we might be actually causing something rather than preventing it, from which we will have to derive a cure. So if we want to save yourself a lot of time, if we want to save ourselves a lot of time, we live in the seven areas of life in a way that doesn't cause problems. Now, this is really interesting stuff, because what would be the best thing to do for a relationship so it doesn't cause problems? Given that I've been divorced a few times, and given that I've been through a few relationships in the process of being divorced a few times, it becomes obvious that we learn along the way, we learn as we go. The theory of what makes a great relationship is going to change person to person, couple to couple, constitution to constitution. So when you think about that and you go, do you know what will prevent trouble in a relationship? You go, yeah, sure I do. And yet 60% of all relationships on the planet fail. In fact, I think the statistic is 80%, because some of them don't even get to live-in status before they break down. So everybody thinks they know how to make a relationship work, but it would seem most don't, 80%. So the question we can take from that, can we reverse engineer the 20% that don't fail, reverse engineer them and find out what makes a relationship a great relationship and what prevents it from failing? And the answer is work. So when a person derives all of their jollies, all of their energy, all of their enthusiasm from their children and their family and their relationship, what they've done is they've focused the binoculars on the interaction between themselves and the others in that nuclear group. Should anybody in that nuclear group operate outside of the scope of the group, in other words, break culture or break expectation or break behavior, there's disruption. When disruption happens, there's reaction. When reaction happens, it means nobody's really standing on solid ground, nobody's predictable, and to a relationship, this is poison. So what can we do to make sure that we stay in the healthiest place to give the greatest chance of a relationship taking its full success and happiness and joy from woe to go? And the answer is really good. It's the work we do, our career. And it's not necessarily the job. We do a job to earn the money. Our career is what we contribute. And that really comes around, I honestly think, it's not really in the seven areas of life, it's not really career or financial, I think it's spiritual. What are we doing in the world at large that we are passionate about, we're enthusiastic about? What are we contributing that we are really buzzed about? What are we really energized about? What are we doing in the world that we are absolutely devoted to? Now, whether that's a charity, a church group, a community, or whatever it is, what are we doing? That's not a job. That's inspiration. That's the thing that we are really, 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 we bring to the dinner table at night. When people say, how was your job today? You go, oh, I went to work and I came home and I earned money and I had interactions with people and did some things. That's not the question. The question is, what inspired you today? What is the thing you did today that's on track, that's in your purpose, that's in your vision? And they're asking that question at the dinner table. And I think the answer to that question is what keeps a relationship in a healthy place. Because I believe too many people don't have that spiritual aspect of their job. They don't have that spiritual aspect of their life. And they take it home and try to suck it out of the family. And when they do that, that's like loading a camel or loading a donkey. Let's call it a donkey. Loading a donkey with too many bags. Loading a donkey with too many rocks. It puts too much pressure on the relationship to deliver joy and fulfillment in a person's life. And the relationship was never, ever built for that purpose. No relationship on earth can sustain that sort of load. And so I think the greatest gift you can give yourself is to tap into your spiritual side, find where your spirit exists, find out how to get remunerated as much as possible for delivering that spirit, because again, that's a definition of the value of it to the world. It's not just yours. If you know your spirit, you can be a hippie up in Byron Bay for all that matters and not get paid, and that is no contribution at all. So it's really how can you get that spirit out there? And one of the measures, not all, but one of the measures is how much you get remunerated for delivering it. And I think that becomes a passion project, that becomes an inspiration, that becomes a purpose, that becomes something to talk about over dinner, because it's giving and it's delivering and it's inspired. It's not your job, it's inspired. And I think when you do that, you unload and preserve and prevent damage to your relationship by not putting too much pressure on it to be anything other than a loving connection between you and another person. And you don't become their problem solver. You don't become the source of their problems. You don't suck the lemon dry trying to bleed something out of a rock that's not meant to be given. You deliver to that relationship an inspired human being. And I think, therefore, at the base of this cone we were talking about earlier, there is a really clear definition of what it looks like to be balanced in life. And that's firstly starts with prevention, and secondly, cure of life's woes in the seven areas of life. Prevention is the biggest one because it gives you so much free time. And making sure that you act in a way, not in a meme that says the more affection and the more love and the more cooking or the more washing or the more problems that I solve, not get deluded by a meme that says if you do something, it will preserve a relationship, because proof is 80% of relationships fail, and 80% of people in relationships that fail are probably doing a lot of the things you think actually make relationships succeed. So reverse engineering the successful ones, what we find is people had purpose. And then you go around to your career, you can go around all seven areas of life and talk about prevention and cure. Cure is important because it gives you time back. Now, we know we can't predict everything. We can't predict everything that's going to happen, but we kind of like do know the things that are going to knock us off our bike. Things like someone in the family being sick or passing away, something at work being fired or being overlooked for a promotion. There are things that you can pretty much write down on a piece of paper and say, these are things I don't want. These are things I prefer not to deal with. These are the things that I wish didn't have to happen. And once you've listed that down, then you can actually work on the theory of cure. And if they did happen, what would you do? If they did happen, what would you do? If they did happen, what would you do? And you work through it, not so that you become accomplished, because the truth is, until they happen, you don't know how it feels. But so that you at least understand there is an order in the chaos. There is a practicality to the process of curing, and you don't get caught up in the emotionality of experiencing the problem. So those are the prevention and cure. And now what you can say to yourself is, what's at the top of the cone? At the top of the cone is the tallest leaf on the tree, the highest leaf on the tree. And that leaf is really important. It's very important for us all to focus on that leaf. What are we really trying to get out of all the seven areas of life? What are we trying to draw from the light of the sun? And that is honestly love of life. Love of life means something to do, someone to love, and something to look forward to. The most important of the three is something to look forward to. And I honestly think when we start to future-proof our life, it makes it so much easier to be authentic, to be resilient, to be preventative, to be curative. It makes it so much easier to get the habits of life right if we can get to the top of the cone and be inspired, be in spirit, and focus on making sure that we do what it takes to get that from life and to contribute that to the world around us. This is Chris, Introduction to the Laws of Nature. Bye for now.